Let us all stand, please, and let's sing one more hymn before we give our time to Pastor Irvin for the Word of God. It is well with my soul. Pastor.
Good evening po sa inyo lahat. Good evening. Kasama rito. Good evening po. Ayan, thank you very much. That would make me feel very comfortable kasi that would tell me na hindi na ako naka-camera, na kasama ko na kayo. And we truly praise the Lord for tonight. Shall we come to the Lord in prayer? Shall we pray? Lord, indeed, our souls are at rest. Our souls are confident. Our souls have security and assurance that whatever happens, regardless of the scare, kahit ano pong mangyari sa aming paligid, we have this truth that we can all embrace, that you are sovereign, you're in control, and that your providential care and love would indeed take good care of your people. And thus, Lord, we have this boldness and enthusiasm to indeed sing, "It is well with our souls." And so as we come to your word tonight, we pray that you would give us clarity. We pray that you would give us humility. We pray that you would give us the conviction, Lord, to live out truths from your inerrant, all-sufficient, and always relevant word. We pray for the others who may still be on their way, and we pray for those who are watching via live stream. We pray that you would give us all a sweet time of fellowship as we are all embraced by your truth. Your word is truth. And we pray that you would just allow the meditations of our hearts and minds and the words that would come out of my mouth be glorifying and acceptable and pleasing to you. For all these we ask in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Good evening sa inyo lahat po. Good evening sa inyo. We're looking at Exodus chapter 22, starting from verse 16 to the end of the chapter. So, if you have your Bibles with you, and I hope you do, kindly turn your Bibles to Exodus 22, verse 16. And ito yung hindi ko nagagawa pag nag-preach sa camera. In reverence to God's Word, may I ask everyone to please stand as we read all together this beautiful section of Scripture, Exodus 22, 16 to 31. If a man said, "You is a virgin who is not betrothed and lies with her, he shall give the bride price for her and make her his wife. If her father utterly refuses to give her to him, he shall pay money equal to the bride price for virgins. You shall not permit a sorceress to live. Whoever lies with an animal shall be put to death. Whoever sacrifices to any god other than the Lord alone shall be devoted to destruction. You shall not wrong a sojourner or oppress him, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall not mistreat any widow or fatherless child. If you do mistreat them and they cry out to me, I will surely hear their cry and my wrath will burn, and I will kill you with a sword, and your wives shall become widows, and your children fatherless. If you lend money to any of my people with you who is poor, you shall not be like a moneylender to him, and you shall not exact interest from him. If ever you take your neighbor's cloak in pledge, you shall return it to him before the sun goes down, for that is his only covering, and it is his cloak for his body. In what else shall he sleep? And if he cries to me, I will hear, for I am compassionate. Verse 28, you shall not revile God, nor curse a ruler of your people. You shall not delay to offer from the fullness of your harvest and from the outflow of your presses. The firstborn of your sons you shall give to me. You shall do the same with your oxen and with your sheep. 7 days it shall be with its mother. On the eighth day you shall give it to me. You shall be consecrated to me. Therefore you shall not eat any flesh that is torn by beasts in the field. You shall throw it to the dogs." Lord, bless the reading of His Word. You now take your seats. The last time we were together, we did a jet tour. Sabi natin, it's so hard for us to eat together and start where we left off. Study, So we did a jet tour. So tonight, we will not do a jet tour. Kasi medyo mahaba yun. And we have a mouthful in front of us. But let me just share with you some of the takeaways nung last nating pag-aaral. We said that the most significant event that just happened was the giving of the Ten Commandments. And we saw that God was giving them further instructions. At sabi natin, these are not new instructions because they are just amplifications or practical applications of the Ten Commandments. Thank you very much. Hello, yun. Narinig na ako? Yeah. Okay, so where was I? So these are not new commandments but only amplifications or application ng Ten Commandments. And sabi natin, why is there a need to do that? Why is there a need for God to repeat Himself? And we saw, diba, nakit natin? And we were asking ourselves, why are we here? From, I am the Lord your God who took you out, who freed you from slavery out of Egypt. And then we saw the last time, we were looking at the last few sections, pag yung oxen mo, may sinuwag na isang oxen, dapat responsable ka ron. And we said, because the Israelites and we cannot hold on to transcendence that long. Kailangan natin paalalahanan. And we know that. We've been there. We experienced that. After worshiping God on a Sunday or probably on a midweek service or probably during devotions, you would feel the height of your emotions and you will feel captivated with God's truth, with God's word, only to lose that after an hour, after 2 hours. Kailangan natin i-remind tayo lagi. Because we would always go back to the normal life. We cannot hold on to transcendence that long. We need to always be reminded. Sabi rin natin, and it's very important. The reason why we are seeing this, the reason why we are looking at this, sasabihin natin, di ba, parang repetitive naman eh. It would be mentioned in the other books of the Pentateuch. Why is that? It's to prove to us that the Israelites did not discuss among themselves and ask themselves, how do we govern ourselves? Ano bang dapat natin gawin? Ano bang dapat, anong iimbentuhin nating batas para sa ating mga sarili? No. And we say that because there are those who claim that the Old Testament is an olden book, of course. It's an ancient book. And there we would see how the Israelites evolved in their understanding of how to govern themselves. Pero nakita natin, hindi ito ang Israelites nag-usap-usap sa kanilang mga sarili and discussed among themselves as to how they would govern themselves. We see God giving them instructions. This is not evolution, but revelation. Sabi rin natin, the commandments, the instructions that we see are distinct from the rest of the existing laws in their time. There's the Code of Hammurabi and other ancient laws and rules. How are they distinct? Sabi natin, in the other laws, slaves are treated as possessions. You are buying the person. But here we see, di ba? It's not the person that you're buying, it's the service that you're buying. In such a way that after the service is done, after 6 years, on the seventh year, you ought to be releasing your slave to freedom. Unless he wanted to stay with you. Pero papansinin natin, there's also commonality. Merong mga batas para sa oxen in the olden ancient rules, aside from what we have here. Why is that? Yung batas natin may parang ka-contemporary ng ibang batas because here is one thing. Actually, two things. It is because of anthropology, study of man. Because men are common, di ba? Pare-pareho tayo, pare-pareho ang ibang bansa, may mga ox sila, di ba? May mga hayop sila. So therefore, we need to have rules for that. And we see commonality there. Pero I say that this is not just anthropology, it's also theology. We see commonality. Theology talks about common grace, right? So therefore, that is why, and I want to start there, right? And so as we go back to where we left off, we see now sets of instructions. We can divide this section into two with some sub-points. Verse 16 to 20, we would see instructions concerning holiness. Tapos yung verse 21 onwards, we would see instructions concerning social justice. Look at your Bibles with me and look at verse 16 to 17. Sabi dito, if a man seduces a virgin, that word virgin is the word that says, speaks of a single maiden, a single lady, and always presumed to be a virgin. Wala pa siyang nakakasamang baba, lalaki. If a man seduces, that word seduce means to sweet talk, to persuade, right? If a man seduces, then the genitive would tell us who is not betrothed. We are given further clarifications and descriptions about the virgin, about this young lady. Sabi, kung sakasakali, may isang lalaki, may isang binatang nag-seduce, nag-sweet talk, nag-persuade, nag-yakag, nag-yaya sa isang babae, presumed to be a virgin, presumed to be not having sexual intercourse yet with another man, who is not betrothed, meaning hindi siya engaged. We need to look at this. Again, sa kulturang Hudyo, the betrothal means you already married. Hindi lang nakakonsummate yung marriage itself. You need to understand, in the culture of the Jew, meron dalawang, there are two celebrations. There are two ceremonies. One is the private ceremony and the public ceremony. The public ceremony is the wedding itself, wherein you would invite guests, right? And then after that, you would consummate the wedding. But there is also the betrothal. That is the private celebration wherein only close family members, the bride and the groom, are involved, and the parents. Dun pa lang, they are already considered as legally bound, or may bind na sila, meron silang covenant. Hindi na na-consummate ang marriage. So, kinlaro dito ni Moses, kinlaro ng ating Panginoong Diyos. If someone seduces someone who's not betrothed, this is not adultery. This is fornication. Adultery is having sex outside your marriage partner or your wife or your husband. Ito, pareho silang dalagat binata. Right? And I wrote in my note, premarital sex, but I would make a point later. So this is talking about, bakit ganito? And you ask, why are we discussing about this? Because it's in Scripture. Plus, we need to understand, these people are at the foot of Sinai, di ba? They are supposed to go to Canaan. And on the way, there will be altercations. Magkakaroon ng problema, and then sinama ng Panginoon Diyos as to how they would get their wives, as how they would get married. This is not a good way. If a man seduces a virgin who is not betrothed and lies with her, he shall give the bride price for her and make her his wife. Sabing ganon, you have taken for yourself a wife already. Since you persuaded her and then consummated that marital act with her, you have taken her for your wife. Tapos sabi niyan, you shall give the bride price. We are not certain kung magkano, sabi niya, 50 shekels? We're not sure. Some say it's animals plus goods, or animals, goods plus service. We're not certain. Pero sabi ng ganun dito, pag nangyari ito, this is what you ought to be accountable for. This is what you ought to be doing. Bride price and take her as your wife.
But then again, we see verse 17, mayroong another if. If her father utterly refuses. Again, we see in their culture, the father owns the daughter. The father has a say. And if the father, we don't know, we were not given explicit reasons, maybe it's telling us that the father knows what's best for his daughter. Maybe itong lalaking ito ay mokong, we don't know. But if the father refuses to give her to him, he shall pay money equal to the bride price for virgins. Pero hindi niya makukuha yung babaeng ito. Again, this is sex outside marriage, but with consent. Okay? If you go to Deuteronomy 22, kindly list this down. Deuteronomy 22, 23 to 27, that section discusses about rape. This is not rape. This is with consent. And I like how the Bible used seduce, putting responsibility on the men. Sabi nga dito, if this happens, you need to pay the bride price and take her as your wife. But if the father disapproves, then you can't do anything about it. You still need to pay the price. May tanong ako. And this is where my pastor's heart comes in. Does this mean that we can just fool around? I put in my notes premarital sex, but you know what? The phrase premarital sex is a downplay. It's watering down the real act, fornication. Fornication. And what is fornication? Premarital sex and fornication are not interchangeable. Fornication is not merely premarital sex. Kasi pag, when we say premarital sex, that has a time idea to it. Tama? It's just simply the marital act misfired at the wrong time. And if we always embrace that, then we would then make it as an excuse. Then itama na lang natin mali. It's just an act misfired before the marriage vow. Fornication is both spiritually and typologically a different sort of act from the marital act itself. Let me, bear with me. Fornication, listen, pictures a different reality than the mystery of Christ presented in the one flesh union of covenantal marriage. It represents a Christ who uses his church without joining her covenantally and permanently to himself. You see the danger? Kung gaano kabigat ito? And I hope those who are live streaming, I hope there are young people watching this. This is mabigat ito. We would not dare say, nakita naman natin, so paano kung ayaw sa kanya? Right? Do we even understand the guilt na naka-atang sa mga balikat natin if we do such an act? And we, New Testament believers, or we, the church, we have both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And we know the danger of fornication. Fornication presents a different Christ, a different gospel. The man who leads a woman into sexual union without covenantal vow or bond is preaching to the woman, preaching to the community, preaching to himself a different gospel than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hindi yun ang pinapakita ng Panginoong Diyos. It's dangerous. Therefore, we would not say, di itama lang natin. It's not merely a past event. Consider 1 Corinthians 6, Revelation 21. Fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. So as we go back to Exodus 22, bakit nilagay ito? Because God desires His people to be holy. And as they choose for themselves life partner, they ought to be considering God and how He views marriage. Right? So, with regards to wholeness, He starts here with the marriage vow. As we transition to verse 18 to 20, we see warning against pagan practices. 18, you shall not permit a sorceress to live. Verse 19, whoever lies with an animal shall be put to death. Whoever sacrifices to any god other than the Lord alone shall be devoted to destruction. Minatang sa akin, bakit kaya sorceress? And that's right, kasi ito ginamit ditong word or noun ay isang babae. It's a female. But that does not negate that there are male sorcerers. Sabi ng ilan, bakit sorcerers? Bakit sorceresses? Right? Siguro, nung panahon nila, mas aktibo itong mga babaeng sorcerers. Right? Sabi ng ilan, there are two categories of this like magic. Witchcraft and sorcery. Sabi na sorcery is parang white magic. Witchcraft is black magic. Both are parang pag mamaliit, both belittles God. Both are an outright blasphemy of God and on God. Sabing ganon, a sorceress. Sorceress is not permitted to live. You know, yung salitang sorceress, sorceress, right? Sorceress. Sorcerer, yung lalaki. Yung sorceress and sorcerer, sa Greek translation ng Old Testament, tinranslate nila yan into a word where we get the word pharmacy. Kasi diba, yung mga mangkukulam or sorcerers or sorceress, diba, gumagawa ng mga potions and stuff, right? Diba? And so sabi ng ganun Panginoon, you shall not permit a sorceress to live. Kindly go to Leviticus 19. Look at verse 26, Leviticus 19. Sabi dito, you shall not eat any flesh with the blood in it. You shall not interpret omens or tell fortunes. This is an activity of a sorceress. Sorceress or sorcerer. Talon tayo sa verse 31. Do not turn to mediums or necromancers. Do not seek them out. And so make yourselves unclean by them. I am the Lord your God. So sabi dito, you shall not permit sorcerers or sorcerers, sorceress, sorcerers, right? To live. Why? Because this is what they do. They are mediums. They seek the dead. Right? Let's go to chapter 20, verse 27. A man or a woman who is a medium or a necromancer shall surely be put to death. They shall be stoned with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. And if you go to the passages in Deuteronomy, pareho lang. Sabi ng Panginoon Diyos, you should not let anyone who does these things to live among you. In fact, do not let them live. They should die. Why is that so? Ano, what is the greatest threat to the people of Israel, to the nation Israel? Is it the Canaanites? Is it their own sinful men? Yes, that would play a role. Ang pinaka-threat sa kanila is idolatry. And to believe in people like this would cause them to trust in them. Talon tayo ngayon sa ating konteksto. I pray deep in my heart that no one among those who are with us, who claims to be believers of Jesus Christ, are still in this activity. Sasabihin nila sa hindi naman ako nagpupunta sa manghuhula or sa mediums, right? I don't believe in those. Pero meron kang pinupuntahan na horoscope. Right? Ano ang zodiac sign mo? Squirrel ka ba? O do you still believe in those? We should not. As they were commanded to not let anyone who does this to be among them or to even live. Sana mga believers in Christ should not do this anymore. And I say this lovingly because I know of people who claim to be believers of Jesus Christ who still believe in Friday the 13th. Who still believes na pag nakasalubong ng pusang itim, balik tayo kasi malas yan. Mababa lang yun kumpara sa sorcerers and sorceress, but the same principle applies. Then we ask, whoever lies with an animal shall be put to death. You need to understand, ito ay kalakaran ng mga pagano nung unang panahon. When they worship their gods, their goddesses, right? Kakibat doon ay mga immorality. And one of those is having sex with animals. I'm actually torn if I'm going to share this with you. But I have a very sad experience about someone from my first pastorate. Sa Laguna po yun. And I don't know if he was just joking or he was just drunk then. And considering sabi niya, Christian siya, no? I just overheard him saying, nagkukwento sila mga kaibigan niya that he's doing this with his cow. And parang meron pa siyang, pride na sinasabi niya yon. Kaysa naman daw mababae siya. And I was like, oh my goodness. How can I hear this from someone who claims to be a believer? Chances are, he's not a believer. And you know what I found out? He was not a believer. These things should not be seen. And you would say, oh, teka lang, pastor, hindi ko maginagawa yan eh. But there are those who do this. And so, in the context of the Israelites, there are those who do this. Kaya sabing ganun sa kanila, huwag niyong gawin to. This is called bestiality. Whoever sacrifices to any god other than the Lord alone shall be devoted to destruction. Napansin niyo sabi ko, devoted to destruction. Ito lamang ang kakalagilagyan niyo. This is what is just right for you. Looking at verse 18, 19, 20, we ask ourselves, how does this apply to me? I'm pretty sure verse 8, 19 would not apply to most of us. But the principle? What is the timeless principle here? We should not worship as the pagans do. Ano sabi ng Panginoon Diyos? The first four commandments, di ba? Ako lang ang Diyos. Wala nang iba. You should not worship me like how the pagans worship their idols. So therefore, do not make for yourselves graven images. Right? Do not take my name in vain. You should devote a special day for me to worship me and make it holy. And it compasses everything that a believer should be doing to worship God. Kabaligtaran rin ito ng 18, 19, 20. Anong nakikita sa 18, 19, 20? Saan ang galing yun? We worship with truth. These people don't. These people invent and reinvent ways to worship their gods. But we don't. We have scripture. And so as we look at verse 16 to 20 concerning holiness, as given by God Himself to His people, nakita natin kung gaano ka-importante ang pagsamba sa Diyos. How did we divide the Ten Commandments again? Love God, love others. And in this, we see true love for God. To be sexually pure. To not do what the pagans do. And to offer sacrifices only to Him and Him alone. At sa context ng ating pinag-aralan, why would they? Because they were just saved, hindi ba? They were just rescued from slavery of 420 years. How about you? We were rescued from slavery to sin. How dare we at times involve ourselves with impure thoughts, impure speech, and impure acts? The list goes on as we go to verse 21 to 31. Verse 21 to 24, you shall not wrong a sojourner or oppress him, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall not mistreat any widow or fatherless child. If you do mistreat them and they cry out to me, I will surely hear their cry. And my wrath will burn, and I will kill you with a sword, and your wives shall become widows and your children fatherless. Ang ganda ng ginawa ng Panginoon Diyos dito. You shall not wrong a sojourner. What are they gonna be doing? They will sojourn from Sinai to Canaan. And as they themselves are sojourners, there are those who are sojourning with them. Those who are not Hebrews, those who are not Jews, those who are foreigners. Sabing ganun ng Diyos, you should not wrong them or oppress them. Why? Because you were sojourners before in the land of Egypt. Napansin niyo yung four? If you would look at this section, you would see the four. Ito gawin nyo. Why? Four. Ito gawin nyo. Four. God is giving them reasons why they ought to be doing this. You should not wrong a sojourner. Why? Because you were sojourners before in the land of Egypt. Labas tayo ng konti. Yes, we were saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. We were sinners by default. Diba? By very nature, children of wrath. But God, being rich in mercy, made us alive and loved us with an incomparable, diba? Amazing, amazing love. And therefore, we are changed from within. But we dare not say we are better than others. Diba? We should not look down on other people. Kung paanong tinawagan o pinanawagan o inutusan ng Panginoon Diyos ang Israelites to be kind and to not be oppressive to the sojourners because they were sojourners, dapat ganun din tayo. Let me ask you, this is my pastor's heart asking you, when was the last time you shared the gospel? Especially now, in the pandemic. Diba? We were saved. Tayo lang? Tayo lang ba? You see, we can see and glean principles here. Sabi ng Panginoon Diyos, you should be kind to sojourners. In fact, it was put in the negative. You shall not wrong a sojourner, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall not mistreat any widow or fatherless child. You need to understand, sa biblical language, pag orphan ka, pag widow ka, isa ka sa pinakakawawa. Ito ang dalawang sector na ito, ang pinakakawawa sa panahon nila. And then, sabi ng Panginoon Diyos, you shall not mistreat any widow or fatherless child. If you do mistreat them and they cry out to me, I will surely hear their cry. And my wrath will burn and I will kill you with a sword. We don't know if it's the Lord's sword or if He would use other people to kill them. The point of the matter is this. If you are not kind to the widows and the orphans, I would come after you. And your wives and your children will be widows themselves and orphans themselves. Kindly turn to Psalm 68. This psalm speaks of a beautiful truth about our Lord. Let's read verse 4 to 5. Psalm 68. Sing to God, sing praises to His name. Lift up a song to Him who rides through the deserts. His name is the Lord. Exalt before Him. Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in His holy habitation. I like this. Let me share with you the comments that were made by, I think it was David Platt. Sabi niya, God is many, many things. He is almighty, diba? All-knowing, right? He is, we cannot confine God with one word. We could probably confine Him in one word, amazing. But here's what he's saying. If I share with you, let's say, ako na lang. Hi, I'm Erwin. I'm a pastor. It's telling me that, or it's telling you that is my passion. Diba? I am identifying with being a pastor because I'm not just a pastor. I also love basketball. I like hanging out with my friends. I like coffee. Like, I love coffee. Right? I'm a heavy coffee drinker. But if I say I'm a pastor, I'm just saying that's my passion. And for God to write in Psalm 68 that He is Father to the fatherless and defender of the weak, sobrang laki nun. It's just telling us of one attribute, one aspect of God that's so amazing. He is the Father to the fatherless, defender of the weak, defender of the widow. Therefore, as we go back to to Exodus 22, we see Him saying to His people, "Wag nyong aapihin ang mga widows and the orphans." When we go to the New Testament, the same thing is seen, di ba? True religion is what? Di ba? We see the New Testament and the Old Testament saying the same. Because our God is the defender of the weak. Sabi pa niya rito, I will surely hear their cry and my wrath will burn. What do we see in 21 to 24? We need to be compassionate to the foreigners, to the widows, to the fatherless. We need to be compassionate to the outcasts. Pagdating sa verse 25 to 27, again, we see how God is showing us an aspect of His awesome character. Sa 21 to 24, we see Him as the defender of the widow, as the father to the fatherless. Here we would see He is compassionate. Sabi niya sa 25, if you lend money to any of my people, with you who is poor, you shall not be like a moneylender to him, and you shall not exact interest from him. Ano sabi rito? Let me share with you what this is not saying. Okay? This is not at all saying na masama ang magnegosyo na may tubo. Right? Kasi minsan, pupunta sila rito, kita mo sabi, bawal daw. What we see here is, we should not lend money to any of my people who is poor. You shall not be like a moneylender to him who shall exact interest from him. This does not say that hindi dapat tayo nagpapatubo. But this is saying, wag naman sagaran, lalo sa poor. We should not exploit the poor. When you help, help them out. Hindi yung parang, sige, bigyan kita ng ng puhunan, pero pipilayan mo naman yung tao. This is not what this is saying. If you lend money to any of my people who is poor, you shall not be like a moneylender to him. Again, kindly underline that word, who is poor. But again, it's not just talking about the poor. It's talking about everyone in general. Huwag mo lang iisahan. Go to Leviticus 25. Let's read verse 35 to 37. If your brother becomes poor and cannot maintain himself with you, you shall support him as though he were a stranger and a sojourner. Ang sabi dyan, be kind to the sojourners. Be kind to the foreigners. Sabi dyan, if one of your brothers, he's not a sojourner, and he happens to become poor and cannot maintain himself, he cannot sustain himself, you shall support him. Take no interest from him or profit, but fear your God, that your brother may live beside you. You shall not lend him your money at interest, nor give him your food for profit. It's merely saying, wag mong isahan, nahirap na nga eh. Naghihirap na nga. Go to Deuteronomy 23. Verse 19 to 20. You shall not charge interest on loans to your brother. What's missing? It's no longer talking about the poor, right? You shall not charge interest on loans to your brother, interest on money, interest on food, interest on anything that is lent for interest, telling us you should not do this to the poor, you should not do this to not the poor. It's okay for you to have a business that earns interest, but not so much that you would just exploit them. The goal is to help them out. And if yung interest mo is not really helping out, then you are in defiance to this law. Sabihin ng ilan, eh, Pastor, Old Testament na may. Oh, let's go to New Testament, Matthew 5. Let's go to Matthew 5, verse 42. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. Again, we are saying as well, hindi dapat ito ina-abuse ng person on the other side. Because the Bible is very clear, ang sino mang wag ayaw magtrabaho, wag pakainin. So there should be a balance here. But you see the point. Diba? God is telling His people, this is how you should govern yourselves. There, you are many, you have flocks, you have kids, diba? And you are sinners, and chances are, and definitely it would happen, you would have needs. And therefore, you look after one another. Do not oppress, do not wrong those who are weak, the foreigners, the widows, the orphans, and those who are poor. Then as we go to Exodus 22 again, we are given a picture of what's happening. Dun sa sinasabi ng Panginoon Diyos. If you lend money to any of my people with you who is poor, you shall not be like a money lender to him. You shall not exact interest from him. If ever you take your neighbor's cloak in pledge, oh, may collateral pa. You shall return it to him before the sun goes down. I hope... Huwag kayong magalit. We're just looking at scripture. And to those who are watching, I don't know what your trade is. Maybe you're into this business. And there's nothing wrong with that. As long as hindi nakikripple yung tutulungan nyo. The goal is to help. Sabi ko, if you take as a collateral yung kanyang pambalaban na lang, and that is absurd. For that is his only covering, and it is his cloak for his body. In what else shall he sleep? And if he cries to me, I will hear. Why? For I am compassionate. Verse 21 to 24, we heard him saying, I am defender of the widows. I am the father of the fathers. If you mistreat them, if you offend them, I will go after you. In fact, I will go after you to the point that you yourselves, your wives, your kids themselves would be widows and orphans. And if you lend money, if you try to extend help, wag naman yung magpapatubo ka pa. Right? Again, we're not saying it's wrong to be in such a business. But if you're in such a business, kindly look at the lender. Right? Kasi the same principle applies to us now. Let's look at Luke chapter 6. Let's look at the whole context, verse 32. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and evil, and the evil. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. The point is this. Israel, you are my chosen people. You have received mercy and compassion. Be merciful and compassionate to one another. That is actually the point of this section. Nakita natin, it's actually telling us, it's pointing to the second table of the law. The first table of the law is love for God. The second table of the law is love for others. And how do we see that? How is that manifested? Kung wala ito, we would not have specifics. We would not have particulars, di ba? And God, in His sovereign providential care, has given us specifics. This is how it looks like. You should not mistreat the foreigners, even the foreigners who are sojourning with you. Why? Because you were foreigners, you were sojourners before in the land of Egypt. You should not mistreat widows. You should not mistreat orphans. Why? Because I am their defender. I am the father of the fatherless. You should not exploit the poor. Why? Because I am compassionate. Translation, I am the compassionate one who had compassion on you, who heard you when you cried out to me, help us out, please, take us out of Egypt. And I heard you and I indeed rescued you. Be compassionate to others. As we progress in this section, norse ba? Umaga pala eh. Mga 30 minutes pa. Look at verse 28. So nakita natin, with regards to how they should live as a society, as a community. Be mindful of the poor, the weak, and be compassionate to them. Verse 28, you shall not revile God, nor curse a ruler of your people. Napansin nyo? Pinagdikit ng Panginoong Diyos ang pagrespeto sa Kanya at pagrespeto sa ruler of your people. And that is wonderful. And I pray that you are praying for our government. Hindi sinabi sa atin dyan na if they're okay. Because there are New Testament passages to be praying for the rulers. Diba? List them down. Acts 23 verse 5. Romans 13. 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 to 2. 1 Peter chapter 3, 13 to 17. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 to 13. All of which speaks of submission, respect to authorities. I was once asked, what about a president, maybe someday who would not be a believer? I believe in the sovereignty of God. Lahat na nakaupo, ordained niya, inalaw niya, right? And therefore, in reverence to God, I would submit myself to the government. How do we balance that? Our submission to authority or the government ends when it contradicts with our submission to God. Right? But, sabi ng Biblia, Romans 13, ang gobyerno ay instrumento ng Panginoong Diyos. Right? Ano napansin nyo? With regards to a society who would be distinct, who would be a holy nation, ni-remind sila, you keep your purity. Keep these things out. And you should be kind to one another. Not mistreating anyone. Do not revile me, nor curse. The word nor there is wonderful. If you respect him, respect God, therefore we ought to respect the authority that he has placed in our government. Respect for God, respect for leaders. Verse 29 to 31. You shall not delay to offer from the fullness of your harvest and from the outflow of your presses. The firstborn of your sons you shall give to me. You shall do the same with your oxen and with your sheep. 7 days it shall be with its mother. Kasi siguro, para matagal siya nasa nanay niya, para mas malakas siya, right? So, on the 8th day, you shall give it to me. You shall be consecrated. You should be set apart. You should be special. You shall be consecrated to me. Therefore, you shall not eat any flesh that is torn by beasts in the field. You shall throw it to the dogs. Again, let me ask you, what is the greatest threat to Israel as a nation? And right here, as they will be traveling and with the instructions given to them, what do you think is the greatest threat to Israel? Again, the threat is not the people around them. It's from within. Kaya napansin nyo, ako'y Diyos. Kayo niligtas. Dapat ganito kayo. It would be a repeated theme all throughout the history of the Israel nation. Because God wants them to understand, for a society to thrive, you need God. Let me just share some structure na nakita ko dito sa section ito as we end. End na tayo, 7 o'clock na. Again, this section is filled with reasons. May case siya, di ba? May mga case laws, but we would see reasons why. So 22:21, you should be kind, you should not mistreat sojourners. Why? For you were sojourners yourselves. So 22:23 to 24, sabing ganon, if you mistreat the widows, the orphans, I will hear their cry. So therefore, wag mong mistreat sila. Why? Because I am watching you and I will hear their cry. Verse 27, don't take a poor person's cloak. Why? For this is his covering. Verse 27, if he cries out, I will hear. Why? For I am compassionate. Napansin niyo yun? Yung structure na yun? The laws were not given out of a vacuum. They were not just given for kicks. There were reasons why it was given to them. Ito ang reason bakit. Verse 31, don't eat roadkill. Don't eat yung hayop. Why? Because you're special to me. You're consecrated. Pansin yung section ito. How does it begin? It begins with sexual impurity. How does it end? It ends with dietary impurity. Diba? And sa gitna niya, in between the sexual impurity and dietary impurity, are many cases dealing with the society. Sino dapat mabuhay sa piling nila? Dapat itong community na wala, dapat itong mga ganito. How they are to treat the aliens, how they are to treat the weak, how they are to regard God and their leadership. In this section, we have 5 cases dealing with impurity. Verse 16 to 20. We have 4 cases dealing with oppressive treatment of the weak. 21 to 27. 4 cases of insubordinate treatment of society's leadership. 1 case demonstrating the implication of being special to God. Don't eat roadkill. Don't eat animals. You're special to me. Ano ang takeaway natin ngayon? The takeaway is this. A community must maintain purity as the norm for their lives. And we who call ourselves Christians who are under the sovereign rule of Christ should have purity as the norm for our lives. We should strive for purity. Nowadays, nakakalungkot. Lagi na lang palusot natin 1 John 1:9. Lagi natin palusot, tao lang ako, pastor, hindi pa ako. I'm getting there. We should strive. I'm not saying we're perfect, but there should be a pattern. There should be a battle. Ano sabi ni Pablo sa Romans 6? Present every member of your body to righteousness, to worship God, to serve God. The community must take care of the weak. The community must take care of the least. The community must do these in submission to the Lord. Diba? What is true religion? Hindi yung profession lang. Read James. Community must maintain purity. Community must take care of the least. Community must do these things in submission to the Lord our God. Ang social justice is rooted in God's just character. And it flows from maintaining purity before Him. Bakit kailangan ibalik tayo ng Panginoong Diyos sa worshiping Him? Ako lang ang Diyos. You should be holy because I'm holy. Because that's the only way and only means for us to live together in harmony. Jesus showed us the fullness of the character of God. He came to bring justice to the oppressed and declared freedom to the captives. Diba? We were oppressed by sin. We were slaves of and to sin. How did He do that? By laying down His life for those who would believe in Him, to win for Himself a true bride. Paano nag-start ang ating passage? Kasal, may bride. To win for Himself a true bride, one whom He will one day present pure and spotless. I like this section. I like this section. So, I pray deep in my heart that this will begin in my home, in my church, and it will move out to the society. Listen, if we compromise holiness, if we compromise purity, how would the world spot the difference? Diba? First table of the law, love me, love God with all that you are. Second table of the law, take care of the rest among you, love others. You cannot have just one and not both. If you have one, if you have the first table, it would translate into you being a society, being a community of faith, community of love, and community of the word. If you just do the second table without reverence for God, then you're just doing that for yourselves. Again, bakit natin inaaral to? Because the same principle is what is expected of God to us and from us. Sinners, depraved by default, wonderfully saved through the beautiful gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we ought to be loving Him and loving others. Right? Next week, we'll be looking at the next section, and I pray that you would join me, those who are here and those who are watching. I pray that you could join us again, and let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for teaching us tonight. We thank you for this wonderful section. We thank you, Lord, for the structure. We thank you for the genius, Lord, of Scripture. We thank you for reminding us, Lord, that a community would only thrive if this community is subject to you as their Lord. And a community who claims to be under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, our Lord, would translate into being compassionate and being merciful to one another. And we pray, Lord, na sana po, even though we're looking at the Old Testament, we pray that you have shown us principles and timeless truth that we can apply to our lives sa bahay namin, sa workplace perhaps, sa community, sa church. And I pray that this would affect the region, the province, Lord willing, the country. Not for our sake, Lord, but for Lord and Master Jesus Christ's sake. Thank you, Lord, for saving us in spite of us. And thank you for laying down in our steps, in our paths, good works for us to walk on. Para saan? Hindi para sa amin, kundi para po sa inyo. We pray that we would be proclaimers, declarers of your excellencies. We pray that we will be shouting out your fame by loving you and loving others. We thank you for your word. We pray that you'd give us traveling mercies as we go back to our respective homes. And we pray that you'd bring us back next week as we once again look at this beautiful book of Exodus. Sa pangalan mo, Jesus, itong aming dalangin. Amen at amen. Thank you very much for joining me. You're now dismissed.